name is Misha, and this is my handsome husband, Derek.
Well.
And
sympathy votes.
We bring great greetings from Eastern Europe and specifically from Sofia, Bulgaria, the church that we are in right now. This is our family. Yep, it's up there. Good. This is Nadia. She is 24 and she is studying. Some of you may even know her. She has done internships at Northview and she's done other little campus things with North River over the years. But she is currently in London, England, getting her master's degree.
White sweater.
Oh, she's in the white sweater. And then in the black is Skylar, and she is at Florida State. She will graduate actually this coming Friday, which we're really excited about. So she will be 22 in June. And so all of us are kind of scattered right now. Oh, thank you. We are excited to be able to get this opportunity to share with you about our recent decision to join Revive Eastern Europe. We first want to thank the leadership here for giving us the opportunity to come and just share with you all. And we also want to thank you for your generosity. I know this is Generosity Sunday, in the financial support that you've given over the years, actually sending volunteers on Revive, and most importantly, your prayers. Your prayers have mattered so much in our lives, but in specifically the members of these Eastern European churches that we've been able to serve and get to know. The Revive program is about going to Eastern Europe and encouraging churches that have over the years been limited in financial support, and being able to have ministry staff. Some of them have even stalled and not been able to grow over the last 20 years. And some, unfortunately, sadly, have even been so close to not being in the fellowship anymore, where members have left, and you will come to countries where there may only be one or two members left. So Revive Eastern Europe serves that purpose of being able to supply support, love, encouragement, and teaching. Each year, oh, thank you so much. So this is the current team that we have. You may recognize Blake in there. But each year, members raise $15,000, and they take time away from their education, their jobs, their livelihoods. Some have come over as they have gone into retirement, and they come for 10 months to be able to support a particular church. By offering encouragement, counseling, teaching, just whatever that church may need. I'm sorry. This is our life. We have been in the States this whole time, obviously, and when we decided to go on Revive, we sold everything. And basically, it has come down to these crates that a member in the Houston church was so kind to keep for us, but this is our life. After 30 years of being together, we got everything down to some crates, but we sold our furniture, we sold our house, and we said we're gonna do Revive and kind of just scale everything down. This is me at the airport with our luggage. Our lives are now in two suitcases and two carry-ons. And one thing that I will say about joining Revive is that it definitely, for me, was a cost of being able to say, okay, no more Amazon boxes for a while. I love online shopping. Pray for me. But being able to sacrifice and say, okay, what's the simple things that we need to be able to go over and start anew in a new country, a new culture? And so this was the day that we got on the, you know, our plane to go over to Eastern Europe. We scaled it down pretty much. This is beautiful Sofia, Bulgaria. And it is actually a wonderful city. The church there is about 13 members. Sorry, I'm looking here at my paper. When we got there, it was 13 members, and we had a two-prong role for Derek and I. We primarily worked with the families, with parenting and marriage. We did good enough parenting for almost 3 months, and then we made sure that the team was doing okay. We were kind of like the parents the surrogate parents, to the team members. Most of these team members are under the age of 34, and they're coming over to a new country for the first time. And so we really wanted to take the time to be able to be there for them, talk them through when they were homesick, but also just be an encouragement as they were learning how to do ministry. Our team was made up of singles, marrieds. There was a family that came with little kids, which was really special, empty nesters, and we were from 10 different countries. So again, I just want to thank you all so much in advance for your prayers and your support. And it's an honor to be able to be with Sean and Lena, our family, but also they are truly just inspirational missionary heroes. And so we've just been able to be with them and be with so many of the other couples there that are leading these churches. So we thank you and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, it's so great to be here this morning. Thank you guys so much for being so warm, so welcoming. It is exciting to share how we've seen God working in our lives and with the choices that we make. When we actually get back, we go back and in 5 days we have to pack up and we're actually moving to Bucharest, Romania. So we will be there for the foreseeable future, we think. So things tend to change quite a bit with visa situations and all those type of things that go on. But one of the things that I've learned over the last few years is that the Holy Spirit is always out front and is always leading. We are always lagging behind. He is always ahead of us. God is the way maker, right? We sing that song. And God is looking for a partner. He is looking for, if you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, He wants to work with you to make things right in the world. And it's not just the church that has a mission, it's the God of mission that has a church. God is at work in the world to redeem creation. And God invites you, He invites me, to participate in that redemption, that mission. And it's called the Missio Dei, the mission of God. The gospel story is about God, not about us. It's about what God is doing for the sake of the world, not just about meeting our personal needs. And when that happens, the question becomes, do you want to experience God? I mean, that's why we're here, is that we want to engage and experience God, the Creator, our Father. Do you and I want to participate in that? That's the underlying question that each one of us faces day in and day out. Do you want to participate in that? And the question no longer becomes, how do I attract people to God? The question becomes, what is God up to? It becomes about discovering God every single day. It's like going on a treasure hunt. And every day is this new adventure, discovering what God is up to in your life, what He's desiring to do. And think through history. Who rescued Israel out of Egypt? Was it really Moses? Who converted Nineveh? Was it Jonah? You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." Chapter 2, verse 5, "God-fearing Jews from all nations." Who designed that timing? 2:6, "Each one heard their own language being spoken." How'd that happen? 2:7, "They were all utterly amazed." Who converted the 3,000 that day? Does this really sound like Peter's work? He had to get up and speak, but God was working. We read on in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." All were scattered. The scattering in the church in Acts chapter 8 was not in the 5-year plan. They were under intense persecution, and it probably felt like everything was going absolutely wrong. Like, where are you, God? What are you doing? Why is this happening? We're trying to follow you wholehearted. What are you doing? God's plans were bigger. The Holy Spirit was out front, moving the church in the direction it needed to go. How was the Ethiopian eunuch reached? 8:26. Now an angel of the Lord. 8:29, the Spirit told Philip. You know, it goes on and on. Philip initiated the conversation, but God had already worked everything out. The Holy Spirit had gone on ahead and orchestrated the situation. Who converted Saul in Acts chapter 9? Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Was it in the church 5-year plan to go reach the Gentiles? No, but it was the Holy Spirit's plan. How about Lydia? Who was going to do that work? We read in Acts 16, verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Who's doing the work? Was that Paul's doing? Was that his plan? Was that his wisdom? No, the Holy Spirit was working. The jailer in Acts 16. And I read all these quickly because I'm trying to convince you the power of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing, and he's so far out in front of us, we can't comprehend what he wants to do. The question is just, are you available? Are you listening? Are you willing to engage in that story? Mission is not an action or a program. It is just who you are. It's your inner core being. There is no participation in Christ without the participation in God's mission in the world. We can't claim to be Christians and not participate in the mission of God. And the mission is not what church does, it is what the church is. He uses you and I, but he's doing the heavy lifting. He's doing all the work ahead of us. But you have to be intentional to want to join him in it. And he is way ahead of you and I. God is working in Atlanta. He is working in your neighborhood. He is working at your school, your work, your family, your kids. He is way ahead of you. The unknown is, will you engage? That's the unknown factor. But do you want to experience it? Do you want to participate? You know, being on Revive, there is such a strong belief that nothing happens by chance. We believe every single interaction you have, like it says in Acts 17, that God sets the times and places which you should live, so perhaps you would reach out to him. That is a core belief of every interaction we have. We go up to people, do you speak English? Is the first question that comes out of our mouths. And then if they say yes, then we say, do you have faith? What do you believe in life? Do you have a belief in God? Do you ever read the Bible? And then we always say, it isn't by chance that you and I are interacting right now. This is not an accident that we've met. And we go from there. You know, in Sofia, for about a decade, a church was led by a lay leader named Kiki. And during COVID, he actually passed away. It devastated his family and it devastated the church. When we arrived, none of the 4 to 5 teens were even coming to church at the time. They weren't showing any interest whatsoever. But within a few weeks, the team members had started pulling them into things and doing things with them. And they were coming to church and one started studying. The one that started studying was Kiki's son, Chris, who is now 17. He started studying and he was baptized. And the amazing thing is he was the first child that ever grown up in the church to ever be baptized in the Sofia church. And even the most remarkable thing is he and his dad now have a chance to be reunited. Before that time, they would never have been reunited. but because he decided to become a Christian, he and his dad have a chance to be together someday. Then we run into Olya. She was a Ukrainian refugee that saw us on Instagram and came to church one day. She started studying the Bible for a couple weeks. And there's a couple in the church, he's been a part of the leadership team for years, but about a decade or so ago, they lost their child. And his wife had a really difficult time with her faith through that time. And so she hasn't been engaged in her faith since then. So one day she asked her husband, Crossy, hey, will you come to the mall with me? Because I'm going to go get my nails done. And she'd been sharing about a new nail manicure she'd gotten a couple months before. So he said, okay, I'll go to the mall. You can get your nails done and I'll just walk around while you're doing that. So as they arrived at the salon, her manicurist says, Crossy? And Crossy's like, Olya? And his wife is like, what? And it was amazing. Olya, who'd been studying the Bible, was her new manicurist that she'd been having over the last month or so. And it was so great. 2 weeks later, Crossy got to go home and say, hey, your manicurist is getting baptized tomorrow. You know, I have no idea what God is up to in this situation. But out of all the nail manicures, out of all the people to walk in through Instagram, for all those connections to happen, you just sit back and think the Holy Spirit is out working in front. He is always ahead of us. You know, it's been so great having Blake there this year. Tom came for a little bit this year. So appreciative of that support. They had a story, him and a guy named Misha and a guy named Xavier. They were out on the streets of Bucharest, Romania. And they stopped a guy and began to share with him. His name was German, from Misha's home city of Ukraine. So they were asking about his faith. They exchanged Instagram. He came to church the next Sunday. And afterwards, he went up to Misha. He's like, hey, you mind if we go grab a coffee together? He said, sure. So they went and grabbed a coffee afterwards. And they started to talk, and he was sharing about his life. And Misha asked him, why do you think we met? Why do you think we ran into each other out on the streets of Bucharest, Romania? Nothing happens by chance. So he said about 4 years ago, said it's interesting, 4 years ago I was in Odessa, Ukraine, and I knew this one guy, his name was Kurt. And he met me on the streets of Odessa, Ukraine, 4 years ago. And Misha's like, wait, I know a guy named Kurt. He was on the first revive in Odessa, Ukraine, 4 years ago. And so he scrolled through, got the picture of Kurt and showed him. He said, yeah, that's the guy. We studied the Bible a couple times, and then I began to travel and go other places and just kind of lost track. So it's mind-blowing to see that 4 years later, a completely different country from a population of 1 million people in Odessa, Ukraine to be met, to move to Bucharest, Romania, where 1.7 million people were there, to stop him on the streets and invite him, the same person, same group, God is working. The Holy Spirit is out front. And what's amazing is Kurt's parents, Mark and Annie, were actually our Caleb couples that's on this revive. So they were sitting there listening to the story about their son still having an impact 4 years later in a whole nother country. See, the amazing thing is when you decide to engage with strangers, when you decide to engage in the story of the Holy Spirit and what God is up to, God has designed this to be reciprocal in life. It's also about God forming you. He uses it to give back to you, to shape you, to give you faith, to give you encouragement, to inspire you. No matter how people respond, God is using it for you also. It's not just about you having a bill of goods. You get just as much in return. And you see this over and over and over in Scripture. Every week, we literally spend an hour sharing how God is building our faith at our meetings. We'll just sit there and share over and over how we see God building our faith. Think about it. How do you think Peter's faith was at Pentecost after that day was over? Can you imagine going home with them that night? Do you think he even slept? What do you think God did to his faith after that moment? What about Philip after the eunuch? What do you think his faith was like? Abraham, the two strangers, right? What did he get from it? Well, the promise of having a son. Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. See, God uses this engaging with people to be reciprocal, to build you up at the same time. We are relational people. We are to engage with strangers. We're to engage with one another. We're to learn compassion, love, forgiveness, empathy, gratefulness. And you see God work. And that can happen anywhere. It's just deciding to engage. If you don't engage with people and one another, the stranger, you actually lose out on experiencing God. And I think that's somewhat of what mission work does. It forces you to engage. It calls you out of your comfort. It makes you go engage with people. And you walk away feeling like you experience God. And I know for me, there are many days walking in Houston, just in my world, my life, my security, not really engaging and not really feeling like I'm experiencing God or my faith is growing. But you choose to engage, and God brings back. You know, a couple summers ago, as we end in, we'll take communion together. A couple summers ago, our family went to Istanbul. And we decided to take a bike tour. And here's the map of the tour. Now, this looks really fun. You get to see these cool sights. It doesn't look that hard. But I have a feeling that sometimes we can experience God like this bike tour. You can look at this map, you can read about it all, but you don't really understand what that circle means until you actually get out there and start riding. And based on the picture, it really does look fun and easy. And again, you get to see some really nice sights. But actually doing it felt much different. When we went on the tour that day, it was hot. It was really hot. And here was us starting. Now, what things do you notice? No sidewalk, cobblestone, narrow streets, hilly, and young kids. There are no bike paths in Istanbul. You just go on the major roads and highways. It was so dangerous. I mean, we're riding through markets. We're riding through, I still literally have it ingrained in my head. We are riding our bikes along this highway with no path, and these trucks are just flying past my two little girls on their bikes, probably within 2 or 3 feet. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, please just keep us safe. Spare their lives. I'm sorry for signing up for this bike tour. But, you know, the thing is, we did get to see beautiful things on that tour. See, the thing is, you can read about the God of the mission. That's what you do. Every Sunday you come in and you learn and you read about the God of the mission. You can listen to stories about the God of the mission every Sunday. But unless you step into the story, unless you decide, I am going to step into the story and act on it, you won't experience God. And again, it's not about a church having a mission. It's about you deciding whether you want to participate with God and His mission. The Spirit is already out in front of you. If names come to mind, act. If you cross paths with someone, you speak. The Spirit is working. Nothing is by accident. Nothing is by chance. Be praying for us in Eastern Europe. You know, these are all the faces that have decided to follow Jesus in the last 5 years. Coming from churches that have no youth ministry, no campus ministries, no young professional ministries. You know, we're preparing for 6.0 right now, our sixth-year iteration. We're going to expand from 3 countries to 5 countries. You know, we're hoping to have 50 members on the team. 50 people willing to, again, put their lives aside for 10 months or some iteration of that. Empty nesters, young families, single men and women. We actually need 4 single men if you're open. Hey, come on over in September with us. They're beginning to do fundraisers to raise their money to be able to support themselves. My brother's like, this is great. You get to come over and you get to work and you get to be here and you don't have to work. And then someone responded, yeah, but I had to fundraise my own money to get over here. And he said, absolutely. It's great to be here. You know, Mish and I raised money for others because a lot of the people that are on their teams were trying to get Eastern European people to join the teams. Like Alex and Sophia was just baptized in January. He's already on the Revive team now and planning to go on next year. So he'll be our only Bulgarian speaker in the group. But we need to raise his money for him. He doesn't have the resources that we do. So Mish and I work on doing that. So maybe you can't physically go on a mission trip. You can pray. You can keep praying. You can help mission trips find resources to be able to go. Maybe it's not now, but maybe it's later in life. Maybe it's not 6.0, but 7.0. Well, they'll need to go to Athens or Tirana, Albania. Maybe it's 8.0 to Ljubljana, Slovenia. Maybe it's 9.0 to North Macedonia, Serbia. You know, the goal is by 2030 to be in every nation in Eastern Europe. And have helped either plant the churches that aren't there or help revive the churches that are there. Just know that God is way out ahead of you in life. We just get this opportunity to jump in, participate in the story that God is writing for the sake of the world. When you do that, you see God. You really do. You know, thank you for the opportunity to share this morning, for all the support and prayers. You know, as we take communion together, we take the time to remember Christ. His sacrifice, He bought the opportunity for us to join Him. We remember Christ. We remember the display, the gift of God's love that was displayed on the cross that day. And we get the hope of the resurrection that occurred 3 days later. As we take this communion together, let's remember the depth of His love and just this incredible gift to be able to participate in His grace that helps us partner with Him in the world around us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to be able to take communion together. It's a special time that we get to do as a family, as a community, that we get to remember the sacrifice of your Son, that He actually became flesh and lived on this earth, that He walked among us, that He loved people around Him, that He served, that He gave up His life for those that He saw and was around. We're so grateful to be able to remember 2,000 years later, His decision to allow Himself to be killed on the cross, to fulfill God's desire to display His love for all mankind. And we know that wasn't by chance or by accident. And we're grateful to remember the resurrection, the hope that we have. Father, thank you so much for calling each one of us and allowing us that opportunity to respond in our lives. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.